Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, I've found it. At least on public record, our discovery of Blaze Pizza. Patty Schwartz, he gets a big old song, he gets a big old look in. Miley Cyrus not mentioned by name, but certainly to my ears, listening back to this episode, the main thing I'm thinking about is sort of the level of, I don't know if you could quite call it snooping, but investment I took in Patrick Schwarzenegger at this time. So this was an exciting episode. I checked it back in on Blaze Pizza. They've got, I think, about 200,000 followers on Instagram. They recently did something called Pi Day, where they keep doing the mathematical symbol for pi on their pizza pies, I guess, and a lot of really bad pizza memes. I'd love to get back there. This is an upbeat episode, a positive episode. It's, you know, we've got our work done in the morning, and I mentioned living, you know, I knew this was the case through a lot of the season, but I mentioned having mushrooms for breakfast that my friend and flatmate at the time, Maxie, made me. And man, we used to eat those mushrooms every morning, you know. Life can be a funny thing like that. This is nice. Down the line, guys at work doing their podcast. I get the sense I might have slept through a lot of the previous episode. This is a mea culpa. Look, we talk about if Adam Sandler found the podcast or if we got successful, if he would lay claim to our success, which I think it's still a valid question, whether he'd not like us. Well, I don't think we're disparaging towards the movie. I don't think we're disparaging towards the Sandman himself. Anyhow, I'm rambling. Enjoy.
That is good news, Guy. That is such good news. We have knocked off the film, and it's not even midday.
That's right. That's how you get things done, everybody.
Efficient.
Get up around 9 o'clock, all right? Hope that your flatmates cooked you some mushrooms, maybe, which is what was fortunate enough to happen to me this morning.
Awesome. Was it Maxie?
Yeah.
What a dude.
And then you roll around to Tim's house and you watch Grown Ups 2 between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Number 38. We're real proud of ourselves.
I'm actually feeling pretty good right now.
I'm feeling awesome. Well, like sad, because I just watched the movie again.
No, but I felt sad watching the movie, but then when it was over and I looked at my phone, it was only 11:50 something. I was like, whoa, there's a whole day ahead of us.
A whole big day.
It's going to be a rose-tinted podcast.
If there's one thing that this podcast has taught me, ironically, it is to live every moment and love every day, because every moment that I'm not watching Grown Ups 2 is like a gift.
I don't think that's ironic. I think if that message is hammered home by the movie relentlessly.
Yeah, but
you want to look at a town full of people who are living every moment and loving every day, just really grabbing things by the scruff of the neck and doing whatever the fuck they want, whenever the fuck they want.
It's ironic.
Talking about standing Connecticut.
It's ironic because it's a story so badly told and messages so ham-fistedly shoved down your throat, but they've accidentally tripped over a real good song at the end, which seems to like diss their own movie, but is actually legitimately a great life message, which is to love every moment and live every day and stop seeing Adam Sandler movies.
Actually, speaking of REO Speedwagon, who are, for those of you who aren't as so well familiar with the podcast, it's, we've just finished watching Grown Ups 2 for the 38th time.
There's a hair on the microphone. I don't know why I had to pick it off, but it was bugging me. Sorry.
We've just watched the movie for the 38th time, and the closing credits song is REO Speedwagon's Live Every Moment. And Live Every Moment. And a while ago, one of our listeners suggested that we listen to a live album by REO Speedwagon.
Oh, yeah.
And I said I was going to do it, and I didn't do it.
I did.
And he was saying it's one of the best live music albums, if you're into that genre of music, or even if you're not, I guess.
I like a bit of, would you call it classic rock? I don't know if you were with REO Speedwagon, it's a bit softer. But yeah, I listened to that live album. It was fucking dope.
There you go. So shout out to REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Was it
REO Speedwagon, the album that he recommended?
Yeah. It had to be, because we would have been talking about REO Speedwagon.
That's weird. I thought it was... Yeah, no, that makes sense. It was a long time. It was like weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I listened to it at the time, and I remember it was dope. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't remember enough to even be 100% sure that it was REO Speedwagon I was listening to.
It sounds like it really impacted you, bro.
At any rate, Guy, so much to talk about in the episode this week on our 38th watching of Grown Ups 2, a movie which was described by Peter Dante, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, as a movie where he and Shaq play cops in Adam Sandler's hometown, and Adam Sandler comes back home and sees his friends, and they hang out together. They have a day together. That's more or less what he says.
He's on point. Gotta love Peter Dante. Yeah. I got to say, during the there was a lot of mood changes and sort of gear shifts for me personally during the movie today.
Run me through the emotional gamut that you experienced.
Early on, definitely feeling the absurdity. Some weeks you feel it, some weeks you don't, but definitely feeling the fact that I'm watching this movie again.
Yeah.
That was very present in my mind, which sort of, I mean, it changes what you're watching. You had a good point early on as well about it, once you've seen something this many times, it changes, like you're watching for takes, like you're sort
of... You sort of see through the kind of facade of what they've put in front of you, which is a fully produced movie, and you start like seeing the Matrix code.
Yeah, like you sort of, imagine that you can see around the edges of the screen where there's all of the crew and stuff getting the job done.
That is a beautiful articulation of the feeling. It's like I feel like I can sense the lighting guy who's just out of shot and the boom operator who's holding that boom just above where we can see Dennis Dugan just on his cell phone while the take is in progress.
I'd say Dennis Dugan probably
ordering up
smashing
another movie.
Cocaine. Dressed up like George Michael in his trailer, just watching it from a monitor, yelling instructions through a walkie-talkie.
No, he's not George Michael. He's
he's Billy Idol in
Billy
this,
Idol,
but
yeah,
he's
right.
George Michael when he changes his costume every day.
Love it. Dennis Dugan turns up on set every day,
dressed
in
a different 80s pop or rock musician.
I would love to see Dennis Dugan as Cyndi Lauper. That would be wicked.
That'll be good. So you say Cyndi. Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper.
So yeah, I mean, it was an interesting watch, I suppose. We had some interesting theories and conversations come up during the film. I mean, we both saw some stuff we hadn't seen before.
Definitely. There was a bunch of stuff that you seemed to notice for the first time today, which was I find it fascinating that either one of us can still find new ground.
I guess that's sort of a commentary on, you know, how you fall into patterns and like you watch it. And I thought I heard a line as that for like the first two viewings, and then never bothered to listen closely enough to
the line is
correct myself.
So Chris Rock's son is
Kurt McKenzie.
Whose phone's going? Oh, mine. Oh, it's Rory. Oh, I can't take that in the middle of the podcast, can I? Or can I?
I mean, I wouldn't even really bring it up. Who's Rory?
Oh, dude, Rory's the man.
Rory's, what's his deal?
He's a great
guy. You
better
be pretty fucking cool to be calling up during the podcast.
Well, he lives in Sydney, so it's always exciting when I get a call from him because he's either fucking drunk or super hungover. But either way, I get a good story out of it.
Rory sounds like he's got a drinking problem, man.
Nah. He's all good. Rory's all good. He's a good man. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So so that particular one that you heard for the first time was, Kurt. Never said once in the movie. Yeah. Chris Rock's first name. His son is getting a driving test, pulls up to the lights where it's red. The frat boys come and they say, because they think he's one of their compatriots at the frat. Scully?
Scully, yeah. No way, Scully, is that you?
Scully, is that you? Are you taking your driver's test drunk? And then he says, yeah, I'm MC Hammered.
But I thought he said, I'm absolutely hammered.
38 times before. Oh, and you didn't even hear it. I said it. And you were like, what? I said it out loud.
But it's just because I genuinely, why would I bother listening to that in detail now? Like if I already.
But I would just think for one of the times in the 38 viewings, you would have just heard it.
Yeah,
somewhere.
You're probably right.
And another one is the free back rub that you noticed.
Oh, yeah.
So, because Leanne, played by...
Deanne,
played by Maya Rudolph, forgets her wedding anniversary where Chris Rock buys her a necklace and puts it in her son's poo-infested nappy.
It's not actually poo-infested.
But it could be, you know?
Yeah, there's always a risk. You put something down, you put a necklace down, any underpants, there's a risk of some poo getting on the necklace.
And no more riskier prospect is there than putting it in a toddler's underwear.
It was a bold anniversary move, anniversary day strategy or anniversary gift. Like, I don't think I would, say you splashed out $300 on that necklace. Yeah. It looks like a pretty nice necklace.
Yeah, man.
You're going to go risk tainting that gift. I guess what you're measuring up is whether or not the sort of sweetness, if you pull it off, outweighs how disgusting and disappointing it would be if it goes wrong.
And the thing is that Kurt spun the roulette wheel and won. Like, that paid dividends for him.
Yeah, that was a really, really sweet and touching sort of...
He nailed it. And she was genuinely caught off guard.
She was taken aback.
Yeah.
It was a lovely moment, actually. I'm just thinking about right now for people who haven't watched... the movie at all, that we didn't really provide a lot of colouring for that situation, so that would have been really, it's really confusing.
It's
little
fine.
Tangent.
Oh shit! Before I go into the thing I was going to go into, Alice, one of our listeners, has said that she hasn't watched the movie, but she's listened to all the podcasts, and I can't remember the post exactly, but she wants to basically paint a picture of what she thinks the movie is about.
Yeah. She wants to do it. She's going to draw out a timeline
of what
of
she
the day
thinks the
of
movie
the action
is.
Of the film. Which I'm really excited
it's
for.
It's such a good idea. It's a really great idea.
It's a great idea.
So at some point, Deanne's writing out, when she's on the phone to her mother, which is such a fucking odd, like, what the fuck, man? I remember when we first figured out that was her mum, and we were like, why? Yeah. Why does it need to be her mum? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Just, you know, it just adds texture
it
to made everyone's
no
characters.
Sense.
Chris, it makes Chris Rock... probably a little more deplorable, if anything,
it's
for actively
even...
like holding out on giving his mother-in-law cable.
Oh yeah,
for no other reason than his own amusement.
It is purely that he doesn't even need to be anywhere else. He's just sitting in his fucking van.
Yeah, I guess it's a pretty funny prank though.
So Deanne
maybe he teases about it when she comes over for dinner. He's like, "Did you get that cable?" And she's like, "No." And he's like, "Oops, sorry." I don't know, just a thought.
Chris Rock's wife is writing out a free back rub voucher to try and atone for her sins of forgetting the wedding anniversary. But the thing is, man, a free back rub is not a necklace.
No, but it's a lovely thought. She's doing her best. And I'm just impressed by the fact that the directors or writers or whoever was in charge, the art director, I guess, of the mise-en-scene of the movie, bothered to put that much detail into any, like, into... Because I haven't noticed that, and then I saw it, and I was so satisfied that it tied in with another part of the movie.
I always figure with those bits that it was a way bigger scene, and it just got cut down in editing. So it's probably not like, oh, and we'll have this for just a flash
apparently,
moment.
I read on IMDb this week that they shot over 500 hours of film for this movie.
I wonder how that stacks up against other films.
It's a lot, 500 hours.
But if everything has an average of how many takes... 5 average? Because like Adam Sandler does not do a lot of takes.
I made that up. Everything I just said. Yeah, I completely made that up. I can't go too deep on this fly. I made it all up. 500 hours seems long, and I don't think they shot it on film.
No.
So I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I thought I'd put in enough red flags that you'd call bullshit.
I didn't. I went with you, guy. You've caught me in a vulnerable, trusting mood. Took me down the garden path. So yeah.
What else is Patrick Schwartz and niggas coming to the party.
He's gonna bring Miley Cyrus with him cause they did it.
He's bringing 6 bills, they're Bud Light bills.
His dad's the Terminator, he's Patty.
It's Patty Schwartz. Okay, Patrick Schwarzenegger party time. Now we've both got one this week. Obviously it's been a big week for Patty,
both in the world of the film and in real life.
Yeah, well, he's what I've noticed is I follow Patty on Twitter. And he's made some huge gains.
Give Patty's handle a shout out, mate.
Yeah, wait, I'll just load it up here.
All right, bro.
But I've started sort of taking a vested interest in his life, and I'm like almost like a proud parent. I mean, obviously, dating Miley Cyrus has increased his sort of cultural collateral. Like I feel like a proud parent in the sense that we sort of started a relationship with him before the greater public at large.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like watching your young boy grow up into a man right in front of your eyes.
We feel like how Arnie must be feeling right now.
That's right. And the other thing about that, which I like, is... where are you? There you are. No, this is a fake account. He's got fake accounts.
How many? What?
He's got heaps.
That's awesome.
The other thing I like about it is he's made some huge gains at the gym this week.
Big gains. Why do you go to the gym? You go for gains.
That's
folks.
Right. I'll just give a shout out to the gym. It's on Venice. Him and the lads have actually all put on a pretty good amount of muscle this week. And the other one, oh, here we go. Gold's Gym on Venice Beach. If you want to head down there to do some Patty Schwartz spotting. And the other one I got to give a shout out to.
When you say spotting, do you mean looking at him or like spotting him when he's doing the weights and shit?
Just whatever works.
Imagine that if you spotted him from afar on the at Gold's. And then you came up, you're like, Patty, Timbo, should I spot you? He's like, yeah, jump in, fella.
Yeah, I could use someone to spot me, however he talks. And I also want to give a big shout out to Blaze Pizza. I don't know if Patrick Schwarzenegger has invested money or whatever into this pizza firm, or if they're just giving him a sweet contra deal to do shout outs on Twitter, but he's all over this place.
Yeah.
And looking at their Twitter page, you can really see why. Blaze Pizza, fresh dough, artisanal ingredients, inventive to classic, you decide. Blazing oven and dedicated pizza smith, and 180 seconds equals fast fired perfection.
180 seconds. What? So do they like flash cook the pizza?
They flash. They've got a blazing hot oven.
180 seconds is 3 minutes. That is a quick. That's a microwave oven.
No, it's a real oven.
Yeah, I know. And but like, that's microwave time.
Their copy is there's no wrong way to play.
You've thrown a lot at me, man. Blaze's got a lot of shit going on.
Big shout out to Patty.
So how does that connect to Patty Schwartz?
I just think that maybe he's got stock.
You were talking about Patty Schwartz. Has he been tweeting about it?
He keeps going to events or something at Blaze Pizza. All the events are catered by Blaze Pizza. He's just always bloody going on about Blaze Pizza.
Well, we've left the first few breadcrumbs, folks. You follow the path. Let's dig out some IRS forms.
Yeah,
and find
well,
out
like
if
there are any diehard shareholder. Patrick Schwarzenegger fans in Los Angeles. We're just sort of providing you, if you want to do some celeb spotting, maybe get a picture taken with them. We're just giving you some handy hints.
You would have to say that Blaze Pizza is absolutely going after the stoner market, right?
Blaze Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. It's like there's a Ben and Jerry's flavor in Canada. It's probably in America too, called Half Baked.
Cool.
And it's like cookie dough flavored ice cream. But
oh, okay.
You can totally see what they're trying to do when they put that in the ice cream aisle at the supermarket.
I would say so. I would say they say on those tubs of cookies that you're not supposed to eat it.
On what tubs?
Cookie dough. Because in America you just like eat cookie dough.
Yeah, you can just buy cookie dough for eating.
You just eat it, but it says on the tub, "Don't eat this." You go cook it.
Why does it? No. I'm pretty sure in America you just buy rolls of cookie dough as cookie dough.
Yeah, you can. No, you do. But I think it's one of those things where it's like they have to put on the packet. you know,
don't eat it
in this form. You've got to cook it first.
That seems like a weird particular rule to make when that you can pretty much the one.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
With America and eating is just, you don't need to tell anyone about.
No, they've got, I reckon it's a food safety thing, maybe. You've got to like.
There's some toxins in there.
Yeah, you've got to cook them off in your 180-second oven.
I love eating cookies.
Flash cook some Ben and Jerry's half-baked, you know?
Anyway.
I've just combined three things and they don't work.
No, not quite.
Because the Ben and Jerry's is ice cream.
What was your Paddy Schwartz party time, Tim?
My one was a lot tamer, mate. My one was in the world of the film. And my Paddy Schwartz was him when they're at the quarry. And there's a shot where the dude with the really deep voice, he goes, "Did Betty White just call you crazy?"
Yeah.
So he's like guzzling a beer. He's got his shirt off. And Paddy Schwartz is just punching him in the stomach.
The rolling like, punch.
Rolling punch like a punching bag in a gym. But with love, you know, a real friendly.
But also kind of menacing punch. to the townies.
Yeah, kind of like eyes on you, fader.
And I like, I mean, I think I Paddy Schwartz, Paddy Times compliment each other quite nicely this week because obviously in the real world, he does do some glove work at the down the gym
down at Golds. Quick shout out to Golds on Venice Beach. Yeah, check it out.
Shout out. We know. I know.
Do you know when I'm on Venice Beach, guy? Do you know what I love doing after I hit Golds?
What do you love?
Grab a slice of Blaze pizza.
That's
bro.
Right. They use fresh artisanal ingredients.
Original to inventive.
That's right.
It's
and
your choice.
If you are in a hurry. Do not worry, do not fret, do not let your pants get wet because these pizzas are cooked at 180 seconds in our blazing hot oven.
Damn, son, that's only 3 minutes.
That's right. If you've got a 3-minute lunch break from your workout at Gold's on Venice.
Then start yelling your order as soon as you put the dumbbells down.
Yeah, yeah.
Just yell out what you want as you're running to them and they'll get it in the oven. And by the time you're there.
But don't eat it straight away because the cheese is hot and it will burn the roof of your mouth.
And no one
enjoys
that.
No.
It'll stick with you for so many days. So now you just made me write down the note, Kevin James table.
Kevin James table. Oh, yeah. Because in the movie, at the party scene, Kevin James... Because I don't know if you know this. I've been on IMDb this week, and I've learned that's lost credibility because of what I did earlier. But that was an ad-lib. So when he says, "Don't ever say the party's over," and he jumps up on the table, and the table blows out, that was not meant to happen. That was...
Bullshit.
And he just ad-libbed his way through, and then he goes, "That didn't happen."
Bullshit.
I'm just saying they were just rolling. You know,
absolutely not, bro.
They took a lot of film.
Did you see how the table went down?
I don't
that really was a planned explosion, bro. There were planted explosives in the table.
No.
Tables don't go down like that.
I haven't really watched that many tables.
You've seen that table go down 38 times, dude.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you mean like a normal table?
I don't know.
Well, just think about the physics of a normal table. If you saw a normal table go down... it would naturally have like a point where it's weak, like one of the legs would go first, and then it would all fall to that direction first. It would be an asymmetrical fall
on an ordinary table, but maybe that some tables have got weird.
No, absolutely, they wouldn't. It wouldn't blow out in the perfect symmetrical 4 points
at once.
It's just
how the table was designed.
It went down
just
into
how
its own.
How the table maker made the table.
It went down into its own footprint, man. That doesn't happen with tables. That's not how they.
Are you saying all this just to explain to me that you don't think it was an ad lib?
It absolutely was not an ad lib. It was planned.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You can see the squibs.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a little like a dust pocket you see when an explosive goes off.
You could see that on the table
you
at the party scene.
I will show you next. I will show you in episode
39. You caught me in a lie, mate.
You can't keep saying I read this on IMDb because I already know you're lying. Right at the start of the
season. Came in hammering tongs on that little fib.
Well, I didn't know why you made me write down Kevin James' table. Now I'm disappointed you did. You used me.
I didn't use you.
Hey,
what else we got?
I wrote down Sandler goes to town on his free pass from Tommy Kavanagh, which is true. Because, fuck, Adam Sandler's character is such a dick. Like, Lenny Feiter gets given this get-out-of-free-jail card. Get out of jail free.
Well, it's a free jail, so you can, I guess, leave whenever you want.
You come in,
the
leave,
clue's in the name.
You.
It's not really a prison. I mean, it's kind of misleading. It's oxymoronic, if anything.
It's like that guy who just bailed. He's in New Zealand's maximum security prison, and they were letting him out for like 3 days a week, and he just left and went to Chile.
That's fucking crazy.
But then he went to like the world's worst prison, and I think he instantly regrets the decision he made.
Yeah.
Bad times, bro. Real bad times.
We're not usually a topical podcast.
No, sorry. Sandler gets in a fight with Stone Cold Steve Austin, completely of his own making and really unnecessary. Like, they're grown men. There's no need for
it. It's just how things go down in Stanton, Connecticut, is that you settle your beefs with physical, with fisticuffs.
When you're Lenny Feiter, maybe.
Literally the whole town is involved in a fight moments after.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It's a good point. That's a good point, Monty. So, Stone Cold Steve Austin, or Tommy Kavanagh, goes, just thwack me on the chin and I'll go down like a sack of potatoes. So he's going to do a Hollywood. He's going to take the fall for him so he can look like the man in front of his son.
And the whole town.
It's about the looking like a big man in front of his son. For Sandler, at his own personal embarrassment. And so fucking Sandler takes this free pass and just...
Milks it
to the extreme. Just as yelling in Stone Cold Steve Austin's face, chest beating, just an absolute moron about it. Like, have a little fucking dignity, bro. This guy has reached out an olive branch to you, and you've lit it on fire.
He's got to sell it. You know, this is what Lenny Feiter. I'm just in character as Lenny Feiter right now. Thinking he's like, okay. Stone Cold's giving me a free pass, but I gotta. He's not calling him Stone Cold. Kavanaugh gave me a free pass, but I gotta sell it. I can't, you know, like, I can't do it in character, but he can't let the fact that he can't communicate the fact that he knows he's going to get away with anything.
I can't agree.
To the crowd.
I don't think that's his motivation there. I don't think it's that he's selling the moment. Okay. I think it's that he's being opportunistic and an asshole.
Do you think that when he was acting that scene, Adam Sandler thought about it as much as we just did when we were talking to each other?
There's no question that he did not.
And where does that leave us?
Well, I guess more contemplative about Adam Sandler's acting choices than he is himself, you know?
But quite specific acting choices. He probably thinks more about his general career direction and, like, the movies he chooses, not specific throwaway scenes.
The bummer about all this is, Monty, and I'm talking broadly about the podcast in general now, is that Adam Sandler literally got tens of millions of dollars for the film, and we've spent more time working with it.
Yeah.
And we get no money.
Right. But we knew that. We knew that from the outset. I had a funny thought recently where it was like, if anything ever became of either of us or this podcast, and then Adam Sandler, surely one day, if we got big enough that someone put a question to Adam Sandler and was like, "What do you think about da da da?" and Adam Sandler could be like, "I made those guys."
Yeah. We'd be one, but he doesn't.
He'd be like, "Yeah, I fucking made those guys. They would be nothing without me."
He's never like, I haven't ever seen him like that in his interviews, though. He seems like a real nice guy in his interviews.
Yeah.
Because he could claim that with a lot of people, like Peter Donta, he probably made him.
A big thing about Peter Donta's he's always been a good guy. He always gets his boys on the films.
Yeah, man, and he doesn't gloat about it in interviews. He's not like
during the movie we sang one of his songs together. Piece of shit car, we got a piece of shit car.
A fucking pile of shit.
It never gets me very far. Oh, fuck your car. My car is a fucking piece of shit. All the brakes are fucking shut. It's a piece of shit car. He does it way better.
I can't remember the rest of the words.
I remember listening to that.
It's a real good song, man.
It was a nice moment remembering.
That was, do you know, for that, like, that song is a real moment in time for me, because it was when I think LimeWire was real big, or maybe even Napster. And I remember downloading it Napster or like a OG P2P music pirating shit.
Yeah.
That was a real, like,
the first ships, bruh.
Counter-Strike was big, you know.
I remember it. It was the summer of 99. Counter-Strike was big, Napster was on the internet, and I was going to go on my first date with the prettiest girl in school, Erica Barbuski. That was your summer in 99.
Yeah, man. Barbuski really came into her own in that summer.
Yeah.
Really came into her own as an
11-year-old.
Now, there's one part of the podcast which we have failed to explore this week so far, Guy Montgomery.
And we really should go exploring on the Steve Buscemi mystery tour.
Roll up
for the mystery tour. Roll up. It's a dump for me. Roll up
for the mystery tour.
Real sing-songy podcast.
It's ever since I bought these handheld mics, man, we've just been getting into a real karaoke vibe.
Okay.
Now, you were going to take the helm on this one, because last week I really picked up the slack, particularly on this segment where I posited that Steve Buscemi was a time traveler who kicked his own ass after seeing him fooling around with his girlfriend.
Pretty good theory. Unlikely, seeing as Grown Ups choose a pretty vanilla sort of comedy. I don't know how behavior that would have gone on the sci-fi in the first one.
We've been thrown
out. The first Grown Ups was a real, like, intense sci-fi.
Real banging sci-fi film.
And then the sequel's just like a standard family comedy.
And the third one's going to be a Western. Genuine Western.
I quite like that. Okay, so...
We have to explain every week. The Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour is a part of the podcast where we try to guess what happened to him in the first movie, which is referenced in the second film, which caused him to have significant spinal... I think injuries. We've kind of established it's spinal injuries. He's got nerve damage or something. 40%
feeling in my body.
Yeah, and his hands have been in a cast, like in the in the touchdown position for a long time.
Steve Buscemi was shopping. No, what's his name? Wiley.
Wiley.
Wiley was shopping at Kmart.
Of course. Quick shout out to Kmart.
And
you know what I love to do when I've hit the gym at Gold's and I've got myself a little slice from Blaze? Head on over to Kmart to see all the bargains.
Yeah. Maybe grab a Rockstar energy drink on the way. I wish all of these products that we're naming were actually paying us to name them.
It's so good. I'd feel like Adam Sandler.
Anyway, so he's going for a shop in Kmart and he's looking around at the exercise equipment because he wants to get in shape. He knows that, you know, he feels like him and his wife, Sherry, are growing apart. Her name's not Sherry, whatever it is in the movie. And so he's sort of like, okay, I'm going to get in shape. I want to make something of myself. And he goes into the exercise area and he gets on like the treadmill and he does the treadmill for about 10 minutes. They don't put all this in the film, obviously. And he sort of gets a pretty good sweat on and then he gets off the treadmill, gets on, what's that weird one? It's like with the handles and the feet. It's what?
Like a step, thing? Orbital walker.
Like what Lenny Fader was using at Kmart.
Yeah, they're called like orbital walkers or some shit.
So he gets on one of those, right?
Mm.
And then Adam Sandler, Lenny Fader, just so happens to also be at that Kmart going for a walk, just for whatever reason. He loves it there. We know that. And he goes, he sees Wiley and he's like, I'm going to give old Wiley a bit of a fright. And he goes, rah! And Wiley, in exactly the same physical gag that Adam Sandler does in the second film, sort of goes tumbling over the orbit or whatever you want to call it And in doing so, I mean, it's a miracle Adam Sandler didn't get injured in this Grown Ups too.
Well, I've got a theory off the back of this, so I'm just letting you.
Well, anyway, yeah, and so that's how he got the injury. Adam Sandler gave him a fright when he was using the exercise gear at Kmart, so trying to win the love of his wife back.
In another reference
spice
to
up the relationship.
In another reference to the cycle of bullying, which is oft referenced but never quite understood in this film, it's this perpetuating thing where Kevin James did it to Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler had done it to Wiley.
Yeah, you got it.
Now, here's my theory about that, if that's true, and I want to assume it is, at least for 7 days until I see the film again.
at least for another 2 minutes until this podcast ends.
Does that make Lenny Fader like superhuman? Did you hear that cat?
Yeah, I heard that cat. Listening could hear the cat, which is why we shouldn't have referenced
the cat. Next door had kittens under someone's deck, and the neighbor came around and said, "Hey, your cat's bloody had kittens under my deck." And we were like, "That's not our cat. He just hangs out here."
Oh, man. Yeah, because I remember you guys were really nervous at this flat that it was going to have the kittens here.
We had two pregnant cats that just hang out here, bro, and I did not want them birthing inside the house.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
What's wrong with a cat birthing in your house?
I just figured there's probably a lot of fluids and I don't know, it's not something I want
cat,
to deal with.
Cat placenta. Well, does a cat eat its own placenta?
God, I'm not sure, man.
Dogs do. It's good for their coat. Tom Cruise ate Suri Cruises ate the placenta from the birth of Suri.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that part of the Scientology?
Yeah, I think beliefs? So. I think it's part of the Tom Cruise beliefs.
Shit, man. Could you do it?
Eat the placenta.
A little placenta polenta?
I don't know.
What if you fried it up with some other stuff?
I wouldn't really want. I might do it, but I don't see why.
Yeah.
I don't want to do
it. I think back in the day, and I'm talking like tribal times, there was a lot of beliefs that it gave you kind of power.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's fucking weird.
New
man.
Life, you know?
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
You can
eat.
See like there's such a strong connection between that and new life.
I don't want to.
Could
like,
regenerate you as one of the elders.
I don't want to take this podcast to really blue place, especially when we're just wrapping up, but don't eat something that comes out of a vagina. You know, that's not for eating, I reckon.
It's not. That is just not a good way to conclude the podcast.
No, it's not. Well, we're not concluding it here.
That's
so,
a disaster.
So let's pull it back. Lenny Fader, superhuman, possible, because that going over the exercise machine that he does go over, like
jumping off the cliff and not getting injured.
And also, maybe that's why he thinks it's real funny when he kills Nick in the school bus, because he doesn't appreciate that other people aren't superhuman.
He doesn't understand mortality.
Maybe his power is that he is both superhuman and he can make other people temporarily superhuman so he can execute really incredible acts of violence against them.
Anything's possible, Tim.
Imagine that. It's like with Superman, right? His power can extend to things that are within, I think it's an inch of his body. That's why when he grabs like Lois Lane or whatever and wraps the cape around her, she's kind of like bulletproof a little bit in the old comics.
I haven't read Superman.
If you're close enough to Superman, you get the...
And Lenny Fader is channeling Superman.
Lenny Fader has a bit of that going on.
I just got one shining light to do before it's game over. And it was just a bit of extra acting that really did well. Kevin James, when he does his last burp snart of the film, when he finds out his son is is brilliant on the piano, a real prodigious pianist, he goes, "My boy's a genius." And then he does a burp snart and he goes, "Your dad's also a genius," and walks out of frame. And behind Kevin James are two extras who just do the best job of selling disgust. Just looking at him like, this guy.
Are they women?
Yeah. This guy is an animal. Like, this guy should not be fathering that child. The way he behaves is offensive.
Awesome.
And it was really well sold. Just a little shot there.
That's great.
Background of frame.
My shining light was when same scene, actually, the party scene, which occupies about 40% of the film, so that's no surprise. Peter Dante in the skis, on the roof, oiled up in nothing but his underwear, riding on top of the roofs of the house. And when he's shooting his gun, he's shooting down into the crowd when he kicks off.
Yeah.
I like the reckless abandon with which he's approaching
Peter Dante,
stunt.
Policeman, just... It was pretty easy to just angle your wrists up so you're not firing into people.
Nah, fuck that though. That's not how Peter Dante rolls.
That's right. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure.
It's been great.
That's a really interesting one. That one that we just did.
Yeah, thanks for being awake for the movie this week as well, Guy. Way to come to the party.
I knew after last week's effort. I haven't listened back to the podcast
yet. You had some mea culpa-ing to do.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be called Mea Culpa, and I want everyone to know it's not my Mea Culpa, it's yours.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.